Well, good morning, everybody. As Maddie already mentioned, we're closer and we can see your eyeballs. And that's important, and that's actually why we did it. We wanted to see your eyeballs. I do like it. I do like that it's closer, and I wanted to be able to kind of get a little bit closer, get a little more intimate. I feel like I can almost reach out and we can, look at, almost, we're so close. High five. Okay, we did it. So front row, you can high five me. Woo! I don't know if that's cool or not. Anyway, we are in week two of our series called Growing Gains. We talked about growing pains, but we're talking about growing gains. And, we're getting ready to enter into an exciting season of our church. In three weeks' time, we'll be going to two services. Just through the growth that we're seeing, and kids' ministry is exploding, and it's amazing. And we're so thankful for that and blessed by that. But with going to two services, there is going to be more. So anytime there's more, we have to have more capacity and more responsibility. We need more people stepping in. And so last week we talked about that. If you weren't here, I shared my little illustration about the Jenga tower and how we took the one that was growing and getting too big, and we split it into two, and how you are an integral piece of the church. And that the church doesn't grow without you. And talked about the sacrifice that's there and how each of us, if the church is going to grow its capacity, then you have to be able to be willing to grow in yours. And so that's huge. And I pray that that spoke to you and that you, just prayed about ways, or God laid on your heart about ways in which you could step in and be a part of this church that is growing and being blessed by God. This week, we're going to talk about growing in commitment. Being committed to the church. We actually have a value. It's one of our core values at Kairos Church, and it's called being champions of the church, or champion the church. I want to read this value to you. It'll be on the screen behind you. It says, "We will support and defend the vision and mission of our church, and we will stand shoulder to shoulder with those that God has chosen to lead it." And so being a champion of Kairos Church means that you're entering into this thing and you've been blessed by it, and you've been able to enter into community, and you've been able to have some really great moments with Jesus. And the reason that that took place is because there are people that God led here that stepped into roles, into leadership roles that allow us to do the things that we do with excellence, with intentionality, and people have stepped in just like you. They showed up to Kairos, and God had a moment with them, a Jesus moment with them, and he began to grow their capacity, and they entered into these roles in every single one of our ministries. You look at the tower, and they are doing amazing things, and there's growth, and there's expansion, and there is spiritual growth and relational growth, and we want to champion that. We want to continue to champion what God began almost 5 years ago in my heart and in Christine's heart and in the core team's heart and in the people that joined us and launched, and continue to let that man see fruition and expand God's kingdom. And so the vision, the mission of what we're trying to do, how we want to equip one another and let prayer lead us and scripture guide us. And we want to plant the future by raising up leaders. These are some of our values. We will love the fatherless, and we're really, really excited about that. And so when we say be a champion of the church, It's supporting and defending the mission and vision of this church, of Kairos Church. And then coming alongside, when we say stand shoulder to shoulder, that's you coming alongside the people who are leading and helping them. Just like, I wish I had the Jenga tower up here, but it's this person here, and then you get two more people next to it, and we're just stronger, we're better together. And that's what this is all about. And the cool thing about this is that the early church in Acts modeled this for us. And so I want to take a quick look into that. In Acts 2, we're going to read verses 41 through 42. They'll be on the screens behind you. If you got in the Bible app or your Bible out, you can follow along as well. Verse 41, it says, "So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them." So this is Pentecost. This is when Peter went and he preached to the masses, and he preached the gospel. And the gospel was heard, and it was responded to, and people came. And then verse 42, it goes on and it says, they devoted themselves to a few things here: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And then fear came over everyone, and many signs and wonders were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. And every day They devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful, humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Now, one of the things that really stood out to me right there, just within those few verses, is the word devoted. And I began to look into this and how they devoted themselves. They were devoting themselves to a few different things. But this word devoted, or in some translations, you could read it as steadfast, or you could think about it as being committed. So they were devoted, they were steadfast, they were committed. And then it goes on and it tells us what they were committed to. There's a few things in there that are highlighted. The first thing that it brings up is that they devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teachings. So what does that mean? They were devoting themselves to learning. They were devoting themselves to spiritual growth. And where you find that is in the Word. And so they were devoting themselves to the Word, not just personal study, yes, that's important, but also studying together, learning together, asking questions about the Word. They were continually in the Word and writing God's Word and God's teaching on their heart and on their mind. And this is so important to spiritual growth. It's so important to see growth within a church body. So that's the first thing they devoted themselves to, was teaching, learning the Word, and spiritual growth. The second thing that we see in verse 42 is that they devoted themselves to the fellowship of the ring. And they were going to, no, that's not it. So they devoted themselves to the fellowship. I mean, it's interesting. You think about that close-knit group, and then it broke up. Never mind. Don't think about it in the church sense. Okay. So they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And this word, it comes from the Greek word koinonos, or it could be derived from the word koinonia. And it means a few different things here, that they were going to benefit from each other and be a benefit to each other. They were going to participate in what was going on. They were going to partner with each other and with those that were leading them. They were going to contribute to what was happening. They were going to communicate openly with one another. That's the embodiment of koinonos or koinonia. And really, when we see the word fellowship, we see koinonos. What we're talking about is community. But this is a knitted together, brought together by God community that is unified under one mission, the mission of the church, of the body, so that everyone within the body can see spiritual growth within their own personal life, and God's kingdom can expand as well. And so there's a commitment, a devotion to community. And it's so, so, so important. And I talk about this quite a bit on Sundays and in my small groups. So I will say that the one thing that the enemy wants to do is isolate you. He wants to pull you away from the community, get you listening to your own thoughts, the thoughts that tear you down, his thoughts that tear you down, and get you believing something other than that this church loves you, that you belong in community, and that you are better when we're together. And so we got to fight against isolation and fight for koinonos, or community. Now, the next one is really great. And as I was just reading it, I realized he mentioned, well, it says breaking of bread in verse 42, and then it says in verse 46 they broke bread, and then he talked about how they ate their food. And so, man, a growing fellowship will break bread together. What's that mean? We're going to eat together. You know what I'm saying? A growing church is an eating church. I mean, sometimes if you begin to make food an idol, you grow fluffy instead of what we're talking about. So yeah, fluffy. So we're not talking about growing fluffy, but really, you think about breaking bread. You think about being at the table, being with people, enjoying conversation, laughing together, crying together, eating together. It's when you think of breaking of bread, you think of just enjoying the company of people around you, doing life together with them. Now, they also, you know, this is very symbolized of, you know, the breaking of bread, or Jesus breaking his body for us, the Last Supper and communion. And this breaking of bread and this eating together, when we come together to do that, it's also a remembrance. And in this, they were doing this, they were taking communion. But as they were taking communion, what this is that we are remembering what Jesus has done for us. remembering his sacrifice, remembering that his body was broken and his blood spilled out for us, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life and be back in relationship with God. And so when we come together to break bread, we enjoy one another's company, and we also remember what Jesus did for us so that we can remember to also go out and share what he did with others. The fellowship and the breaking of bread, it's so important. So then it goes on. So they do the breaking of bread. And the last one in verse 42 is that they devoted themselves to prayer. They were praying. Praying together. I mean, and listen, if you haven't been here long, or you have been here long, you know that we highly value prayers and praises. We talk about it, we give you time to do it. It is very, very integral. If you don't know our values, it's one of our very, very first ones, that that prayer will lead us, because we understand that prayer is so important to our lives. It's a communication with God where we're going to him and asking and seeking him and his will in our lives, but it's also interceding on the behalf of others. So as you pray or you ask for prayer, others come alongside and pray for you, and they pray or pray for them, and they pray for you, and there's this unity that takes place when a church is praying together and in one voice lifting those things up to God. Prayer is so, so powerful. And that's why every single week we say it's so important for you to share. Man, let us know what you need prayer for. Ask for it, whatever it may be. And then also make sure that you never forget to celebrate the prayers that God has answered. This fellowship, this community, this church growth, these growing gains, right? They happen when the church is praying together. The other thing that I mention all the time about prayer is that this requires us to be vulnerable and to be open. And I believe that we live in a society and a culture that has caused us to be closed off to people. We're constantly wanting to make sure that our image looks good, and if we share a prayer or share a shortcoming or share a failing, it destroys our image. But at the end of the day, we've got to learn to be vulnerable. And in our vulnerability and in our openness, when we're willing to ask for help or seek out prayer, what we're asking for is something that is so key to every church, and to church growth, and to personal growth, and that is accountability. When we tell someone else that we are struggling and we say to them, hey, I need you to pray for me, but also I need you to help me. That's when we ask for prayer, that's what that is. If I'm asking you to pray with me for something, yes, I want you to pray with me, but I also want you to come alongside me and help me in whatever it is I'm going through. Prayer is such a vital part of a growing church and commitment. Now, the next thing is sacrifice. When you're a church champion, you're going to have sacrifice. And then this one is found in sold 45, where it says they sold the possessions and the property, and they distributed all the proceeds to all and anyone who has need. There's this sacrifice that takes place. And you know, I talked about this last week, that Jesus came to serve, not to be served, and we saw that he gave the greatest sacrifice ever when he gave up his life for ours. And so sacrifice is an integral part to a growing church, to a committed church. And what does this look like? How does this practically, what does this look like for us? Well, there's a couple of things that we could do here, and so it's in serving. And so we serve, and we give of our time and our talents, and then there's also the giving, where that could be a financial thing, but we're giving of our time, we're giving of our talents, we're giving of our treasures. I was thinking through this, and I've always used the three T's when I talk about giving, and you talk about all different ones, the time, talent, and treasures, but I was like, you know what, I want to turn this into a Kairos thing. So instead of three T's, I created three M's. We're talking about serving and giving, where we are giving of our moments, because we're all about moments, of our meaning, and of our money. Money, there you go. So there's that. So it worked. It was an M, okay? So that's it. And what this really equates to is that we're serving and giving, but what that creates within us and what we want to see within a local body is selflessness and generosity. You show me a growing church, I will show you a church that is selfless and generous, who is all about caring for and giving to others, and really, you know, being the embodiment of Christ. Because if you want to talk about someone who was selfless and generous, it was Jesus who we follow. So that's it. Church champions are committed to the teaching and learning the word, and to fellowship and community, to the breaking of bread and eating and remembering, to prayers, asking for prayer and accountability that leads to unity, and finally to sacrifice. And all of that is what it looks like to champion the church. And let me just tell you something. When I talk about championing the church, and I think sometimes we hear the word church and we can think about the building, we can think about the stage, and we can think about all these things, but the church is you. And so when I say we champion the church, when you begin to champion the church, what you are doing is you are championing one another. We are for each other. We are for what God is doing in our lives and what God is calling us to. You can go and do like a Google search and just look scriptures that where we're called to one another. Turn to say to somebody, say, I want to one another you. It's kind of that's an odd saying, right? Like, I don't even know what that means. Can you be more specific on how you're going to one another me? But it's just caring. And so there's a lot. Well, you can find a lot of one another's. Of course, the greatest of all is that we're called to love one another. But in Romans 12, verses 9 through 16, you're going to see kind of what it means to one another. Okay, here we go. Verse 9, love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil, cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs, pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, and be in agreement with one another. And you can kind of see there in Romans 12 how all those things line up with Acts 2:42 in the church and this explosive growth that we were seeing, because they were being committed, they were being devoted to these specific things. To the learning of the word, and to prayer, and to breaking of bread, and eating, and to sacrifice, and all of these things. It's so, so, so important. And when we do this, and I thought, when we begin to champion one another, rather when we're for one another, when we one another, we will begin to see blessing and growth. Blessing and growth individually, blessing and growth personally. But as you are blessed and as you grow in your life, guess what that does for the church? We see growth take place. Now, as you read through Acts, it started in verse 2 where it talked about how they added 3,000 people that day that came to believe. And that's a huge number. And in Acts 4, it says they added another 5,000. And that only said men. And sometimes they say men, and it's like, well, were there women and children, or were there more on top? So it's like there's 3,000, and there's 5,000. And in Acts 6, it says more were added. And you're like, man, they're at 10,000 people have been added to this movement. And like, can you just imagine that? Like, how do you manage or handle gaining 3,000 people, 5,000 people? Man, we're just here trying to double our, 100 people to, maybe 300. Could you imagine what it takes to be able to handle that amount of growth? You talk about some growing pains. I'm guessing they experienced it. But you look back at all the things that we just talked about, and that was it. How did they handle such exponential growth? Well, they were committed and devoted to each other. They came together in unity, and everyone was doing their part. Now in a few weeks, our church has been blessed enough that we're now moving back into two services, and so it's a double portion. It's a double blessing. We get to have more experiences for people to come and check us out and to hear the gospel and to grow in their faith and to come to know Jesus. And it's a huge thing, and we get to do that. You know, I saw this news article the other day that Polk County was the 7th fastest growing county in the nation. I had to read it again. I was telling my wife about it. I'm like, I think it said nation. And it did. I was like, oh my, this is wild. Between the years of 2020 and 2021, 24,000 people moved into Polk County. And I don't know what it's been in the last year, but just by looking out there and all the homes and the apartments, there's been a lot of people that have been coming to Florida for other various reasons we won't get into today. We'll just keep it about the church right now. But people are moving here. And we're given an opportunity now to be a church. Because when people move to a new area, guess what? They're going to look for a new church, a new community. And the best place to find community, I fully believe this, is the local church. Not just Kairos Church, but the local church. If the community is operating the way that they did in Acts chapter 2, the early church, the best place to find community is in the local church. And I want you to be a part of that community that people can come and experience God's goodness in their life. So we will see growth. Growth is happening all around us. The harvest is plentiful, and we need more workers. We need more laborers. The Acts Church did it by coming together, by serving together, by being devoted to one another. Committed church champions learn, fellowship, eat, remember, pray, and sacrifice together. We get to see this just about every week at our church. Our church coming together and caring for one another and being there for one another. But just recently, we had something take place with one of our staff members, and I didn't ask her if I could share, but she's in kids ministry, so she can't stop me. And I don't think she'll mind. And we've talked about it and we've prayed about her. But a couple weeks ago, Kim Masson, our kids ministry director, had to go to the hospital for appendicitis, and her husband was in California, and she had just got a foster daughter, and it was, you know, she needed people to rally around her. And this is exactly what took place. And we put out what we call a meal train, and people, man, filled up her meals for the next couple of weeks, and people stopped by to visit her and see her and help her in any way possible, because Teddy wasn't there. Teddy, you know, took a flight, and he was able to get here. But there was a family that went and stayed with Kim's kids until all hours of the night, and this is what it's all about. And they were there to care for her, visit with her. They brought her food. And we prayed for her. And doesn't that sound familiar? This is what we just talked about in Acts chapter 2. And all of this, it requires sacrifice. It requires selflessness. It requires generosity. And so our moment makers were generous with their moments, with their meaning, and with their money for a person in the church who had need. And like I said, this was just one that I could bring up, and this happens a lot. And as you enter in and become an owner and a partner with Kairos Church, you enter into this family and this church community. And we have this Facebook page where people put needs and help, and they say, I have this if anybody wants it, and we just have this great community. And another way that this happens is through our groups, and we talk about groups all the time. You get into groups, and you hear about other people's lives, and you hear about what they're going through, and you come alongside them and you help them with what they're in. The same thing happens in serving. When you step out to serve and you are selfless, time and time again, you will be blessed because of it. And people will step into your life, and you will create so many meaningful and wonderful relationships with the people that are sitting right here around you that maybe you would have missed had you not stepped into these opportunities. And so it's huge to step into those things. I think for us, when it comes to prayer and it comes to stepping out and it comes to being vulnerable, a lot of us have a hard time asking for help. And so that's like step number one, learn to ask for help, learn to ask for prayer. I think, you know, often we're really willing to offer help. So let's do that. Let's ask for help. Let's offer help. Let's get help. Let's give help. And there will be seasons where you are in that you are doing the asking and the getting, and that's okay. Because there will be other people who are in seasons of offering and giving, and that's good. And there'll be seasons of serving, and there'll be seasons of being served. And if we're all just going through these seasons, we'll be able to rally around one another and be a church community that is committed to one another so that we are seeing amazing things happen through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stories in the Gospels is found in Mark 2. It's also found in Luke. It's one of the staples of our Moment Maker training that we do once a month. That's actually happening today after service. And it's about a group of friends who had a friend who was paralyzed all his life. And they heard about Jesus, and they wanted to bring their friend Jesus. So I want to read this story to you, and I want you to see a biblical example of what the church did and what people do when they come together to bring people closer to Jesus. So verse 1 of Mark chapter 2. It says, when he entered Capernaum, again, after some days, it was reported that he was at home, talking about Jesus, and so many gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic carried by four men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was, and when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, and this is so huge. I pointed this out a couple of times. It says, seeing their faith. Jesus told the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. So whose faith was it? It was the faith of his friends. Their faith and their willingness to serve and their willingness to sacrifice and their willingness to carry this man, their willingness to take him up on a roof, their willingness to break someone's roof in. Their faith led to his sins being forgiven. And then the religious leaders were like, who can forgive sins, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, listen, so you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, he got up, picked up his mat, and went out the front of everyone. And as a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. And what took place is that there were four men, four friends who cared enough to love this man, to get him to Jesus. And that's what our moment makers are every single week, where you're being selfless and you're serving others. You're doing what God has called you to do. You're sacrificing and giving of your moments and giving of your meaning so that God can do what only he can do. And so every moment that we create, every moment that these moment makers have with people, it's all in an effort to break down the barriers that are in the way of people getting to Jesus. And it may require sacrifice, and it may require generosity. Who knows what it's going to require? But every single time when you are willing to serve for him, man, you will see him be given glory, and people will come to know him and be astounded. I was thinking about this guy. All right, so he's paralyzed his whole life. He finally gets healed, and it's just this miraculous thing. What do you think he went home and did? Do you think he just went home and was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here the rest of my life? Now, you know what? Something tells me that guy paid it forward. Maybe, you know, for so many years, his friends took care of him, or many people took care of him, and he was given a new start, a fresh start, a new purpose, a new hope in his life. And something tells me he went out there and he served people with reckless abandon and loved people and committed to people the same way that his friends loved him and committed to him. So for a long time, he was in a season of needing help, of needing prayer, of needing people to come alongside him. And then he got to this moment that he had with Jesus and everything changed. And yes, we all still need help and we still need hope and we still need healing every single day of our life. But in that moment, he began to be someone who could also give it. He was radically rescued by Jesus, given a new life and a new hope. And he took that. And I believe, we don't see this, but I believe that he went out and he made sure that other people knew all about who Jesus was. And he was someone who was there for his friends, committed to his friends, just like they were committed to him. And this is our moment makers. Our moment makers help create Jesus moments every single week. And maybe you're someone who's been on the receiving end of a Jesus moment here at Kairos. It doesn't have to be here at Kairos. Maybe it was at another church, but you got to experience something, see something, be prayed over, be cared for. And you had a moment with Jesus that changed everything. I just want you to know that moment took place because there was someone who was willing to be committed to be a champion of the church, to learn, to spiritually grow, to pray, to sacrifice, to enjoy fellowship, and And all of that led to you having an amazing moment. And so if you've had it, if you've experienced it, my challenge to you today is to be on the giving end of it now, where you take a moment and you take a step and you step into obedience and you be willing to commit and you be willing to serve and you be willing to be selfless and generous with your moments, with your meeting, and with your money. Make a commitment to the people and to the church who are committed to helping you have those moments with Jesus. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads. Close your eyes. And we'll enter into a little time of just reflection. Maybe ask yourself this question right now. What is my level of commitment? First and foremost, what is my level of commitment to Jesus? Have I fully surrendered my life? Am I spending time daily in His Word and learning and spiritual growth? What does my praise and worship look like of Him? Am I daily sharing the hope that I have found in Him? And this one's so key. Your commitment level to Jesus is the most important one. Because from it, when you are fully committed, fully surrendered to Him, who He was, the life that He lived, the things that He did, you will begin to mirror those things in your life. And the prayer and the fellowship and the sacrifice, all those things will flow from you because you are drawing closer to Him. Reflect on your commitment to Jesus. The next two are kind of one and the same, but I'm going to split them up anyway. What is your commitment level to church? To your church, to this church, the church you call home, the church you call family? How committed are you to attending, to serving, to giving? All of it is so important and so vital into what we do every single week. What's your commitment level to the church? And then the last one goes hand in hand with the church, is what is your commitment level to others? Are you doing life together with them? Are you praying with people? Are you asking for prayer? Are you entering into groups or Bible studies and being fed together and learning together and growing together and challenging one another? Are you caring for one another in times of need? These questions are so important because as we are committed to Jesus, as we are committed to the church, as we are committed to one another, that's when we begin to show the love that we have experienced through Christ to a world that is desperate for it, that needs the hope that we have found in Him. Today, I would encourage you, wherever you're at in your commitment level, to strengthen them. There's always room for growth in our commitment to Jesus, to the church, and to others. And as you think about being committed, remember those Jesus moments you had because someone was willing to sacrifice for you. God, we thank You for bringing us together. It is an honor and a blessing to get to be a part of Your church, to see Your people move in love and care and sacrifice. It's a wonderful, astounding thing to behold. So at the root of all of those things is love. Your love. We're called to love one another and serve one another and care for one another. And God, I pray that You continue as we step into our next season of growth, that You would continue to knit us together to strengthen our bonds, strengthen our relationship with one another, and strengthen our relationship with you. Let us be a body of believers who is sold out, committed to you, to your church, and to your people. It's in Jesus' name that I pray.